Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In this podcast, I'd like to talk a little bit about the problems adults can get into when they bring animals into households with children. In general, these break down into two major categories: problems associated with motivation and those associated with time. And sometimes the two may exist simultaneously. Relative to motivation, I think we all know that the only reason to get an animal is because we really, really want the animal. The fact that the child wants the animal, that's not good enough. Because the reality is that until that child is a legal adult, we parents or any adults in the household are morally and legally responsible for that animal. So that's one thing. Don't let any kids in the household cajole, nag, or otherwise try to force you into getting an animal that you don't really want. A second motivation problem that's becoming increasingly common is the idea of getting an animal to make a social statement. This most commonly manifests when people decide that they're going to, quote, rescue, unquote, an animal to prove to their kids that they're not the kind of people who would just dump an animal. That's all well and good, providing that animal doesn't have problems. But if that animal does have problems, then these parents can find themselves really, really in a bind. The dog isn't a social statement. The cat isn't a social statement. It's an animal, and an animal whose behavioral and physical welfare we're committed to. Another group that seems to be increasing in the motivation realm, getting companion animals to function as service dogs for kids. If a child needs a service animal, that child needs consistent and quality adult, preferably parental, oversight even more. Because now the parent has two responsibilities. The adult needs to ensure the physical and behavioral well-being of that child, as well as the physical and behavioral well-being of that animal. And I'll even take that a step further and say that it's a three-tiered responsibility, and that the parent must also oversee the physical and behavioral mental stability of all those who interact with that child and that animal. So the use of a service animal with a child shouldn't be considered a way for the parent to do less work. Relative to timing, I think we all know that the worst time to add a companion animal to a household is when you've got an infant or a toddler. It's one thing to bring an infant or a toddler into a home where you have an established, well-behaved, and healthy animal. It's quite another to bring that animal in when you have all of the responsibility associated with the proper parenting of an infant or a toddler. Sometimes, though, parents will wait too long. Many times, kids make their desire for an animal known somewhere in the range of 6 to 11 or 12. And this is when they're going through changes in their lives, puberty being a big one. And they change, and they feel alienated, and they feel like they're really not sure what real is. And so they push for an animal. And unfortunately, sometimes we parents push them off. Say, well, wait until you get older. Well, that would be one thing if we said to the child, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to check out some books from the library about the proper care of that animal you want. And I also want you to think about saving some of your allowance, or even going out and doing some extra work, helping me in the garden, helping your grandmother to earn money to help pay for this animal. My experience has been that the kids in this age group are actually much better at dealing with companion animals than teenagers. Sometimes teenagers get themselves in a bind. Here they've been pestering their parents for years to get them a pet. And then when the parents finally decide, when the child is 14, 15, 16, that the child is responsible enough to handle a pet, the child no longer needs that kind of companionship. The child is into all kinds of school activities and has all kinds of friends. They really don't have the time or the commitment to an animal. And most certainly, they don't have the time to commit to an animal with problems. They don't want a project. Their lives are too full as it is. And not only that, if they're 16 or 17, it won't be long until they'll be out of the house. And once again, if the parents want to get the animal, fine. If they get it for themselves, fine. That's not a problem. But if they get it for the child, that's a big problem. And if that animal comes to them with problems, now all of a sudden, these parents who may have started looking forward to having an empty nest find themselves with the canine equivalent of a toddler with problems. And so what should have been a positive human-animal experience turns into a nightmare. And all because we don't think things through. Because we respond impulsively. Because we look at just the positive side of it that we want to see. And sometimes that positive side doesn't even have anything to do with the animal itself. The result isn't pretty. It's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to the parents, it's not fair to the child, and it most certainly isn't fair to the animal.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.